Truly, I am happy to be here once again before you to preach the unsearchable riches of a gracious God. I come this evening to preach the principles of a passionate Christ who is indeed priceless and that we can't fully pay back. And for that, I am truly thankful that you've allowed me to come before you this evening to be able to preach about Christ, because Christ is worth preaching about. He's worth yelling about. He's worth walking the streets and telling people about,
yes,
because he is that great of a God.
Yes, sir.
He is that great of a brother. God is that great of a father. We truly ought to be thankful to be the people of God, to be the children of God, because we are in a blessed situation.
Yes, sir.
Right. I also like to extend my thank yous once again to Brother Goodman for this opportunity, because while he's out of town, we get the chance to display the things that are on our heart from God. We truly just thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for your continued support. Now, I don't know how many of you here are basketball fans, but I'm going to steal a little bit of verbiage from basketball tonight, and I'm going to do a little give and go, meaning that I'm going to give you the lesson that I prepared, and then we're going to go home. For the which cause I also suffer these things.
Yes,
nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have entrusted unto him against that day.
Come on,
there is a word from the Lord this evening in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And this evening we started with verse number 13. Let's start with verse number 12 and read. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorns and figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Within the Bible and within the context of the Bible, we have many things that are told to us. When we are going wrong in our lives, when we're going in the wrong direction, we need somebody to turn us around, to help us to get back on track. We need someone who can give us a new mission and a new direction in which to live our lives. Life is full of decisions. Life is full of points where you need to make some kind of decision. How will you make that decision? The decisions we make today not only affect us, but they affect everyone around us. Everyone who comes in contact of any influence that we have.
Yeah.
We have a great influence on people in this world.
Yes, sir.
No matter how you think about it. Even so tonight, I saw when we left a little bit earlier than we were supposed to, and we usually leave, and I seen how I influenced the Huggins to get up a little bit early. They asked me, like, why are we leaving this early? We ain't got to preach. That's influence. Because we got up and left early. They figured it was time to go. That's influence. And it is not something that you seek to have, but we have that type of influence. We have subtle influence and we have overwhelming influence. We must understand that our influence has a great impact on this world. Much like the soldier who is in command of many other soldiers and who is given orders by his commanding officer to zig this way. But instead he zags that way. And the whole battalion feels the effect of what he's done.
Yes, sir. Right.
Either they're crushed or they feel the victory. Either way, they have to live with that decision. Because you are in command, you have to live with that decision.
Yes, sir.
We should, and we ought to be accountable for all the decisions we make in our lives.
Yes.
The only factor is, what decision will we make? That's the only thing we can change in our lives, is what decision will we make? We are accountable. If we're not, we ought to be. And so many times in this day and time today, we have people who aren't accountable for the things that they do. And that's dangerous. It's dangerous to not be accountable for your actions. So tonight, I'd like to speak to you from the subject, a heavenly directive. A heavenly directive. And what a directive is, simply put, is something that serves to direct or guide an individual in a different direction or to a different goal than the one that they already have. It's an instrument used by people of authoritative nature, people who are in charge to change the situation, to redirect the situation into a positive light or even sometimes into a negative light. Of or relating to a psychotherapy or counseling in which the counselor introduces information, content, or attitudes not previously expressed by the client. It's a way of changing someone's mind, someone's direction in which they're going. This is the directive point that we're looking at, the portion that is heavenly, anything related to or of heaven. So we're looking for a heavenly directive, and we're giving many throughout the scriptures. Many heavenly directives in which to guide our lives in the right direction. We see in our text that we ought to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation as described in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 9. We see throughout chapter 7 in this Matthew that Jesus does many comparisons. If we look at Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he compares two roads. In Matthew 7, 15, he compares two animals. In 7:21 to 23, he compares the two disciples, the two types of disciples. In 7:16 to 20, he compares two trees. And in 7:24 to 27, he compares the two types of builders. He's trying to draw some parallels here. He's trying to show us the right way and the wrong way. God has always set us up that we might make the decisions based on the information that he has given to us. God does not put us in the dark and expect for us to make decisions in the dark. He gives us all the information that we need in order to make a positive and intelligent decision. It is then on us to make the decision. It is then on us to change our directive or allow our directive to be changed by someone of authority. Your directive needs to change. If you're not going in the direction that God would have you to go, your directive needs to change. And it needs to come from God because he knows us best. He knows the best route for us to take. He knows that straight gate and that narrow way. The Bible tells us that we are to be in tune with the commandment. Matthew 7 and verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate. That straight gate that we're talking about there. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that. It's a gate. See, in many cities in Palestine, they had these gates. The cities, for protection, were surrounded by walls. And they had two gates. One was the central gate in which everyone came into that had double hinged doors that opened wide for all that wanted to come in. At a certain portion or point of the day, these doors were locked in order that they might have a better security system set up. They had another smaller gate, which was a little harder for a group of folk to get through, but it was more set for an individual to come through. Yeah, right. And in many instances, you had to knock on the door to gain entrance. It was a security measure. Yes, sir. See, God has throughout the Bible given people commandments, and we'll go back to the straight gate, but he has given people commandments on what to do. If we look at Moses, see, God confronted the children of Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30. He said, this I have set before you, life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that thou and thy seed may live. This is verse 19 of chapter 30. See, God gave the people a choice. But then again, he didn't give him a choice. God said, choose life. He didn't say choose life or death. He said, choose life. See, he gave them the directive they needed. All they had to do was accept it. And many times that's what we have a problem with, accepting the directives that have been given to us. God said, choose life. That's the only choice that we got. Is to choose life. Joshua, God told Joshua, through Joshua, whom the people had followed into the promised land, the Israelites were given the choice. The Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which the Father served, but as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord, serve the Lord in all that we do. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Jeremiah 21 and verse 8. See, he set before them the way of life and the way of death. It was up to them to decide, did you want death or did you want life? Same thing today. It's up to you to decide what you want. God puts everything, he lays it out before you. It's your choice. And I'm glad God made it that way. Because you are more appreciative of God's power and his graciousness when you're able to accept it because you want to accept it. And not because God forces you to accept it. If you look at Elijah, when Elijah was on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18 and 21, he called for the Israelites to make a decision. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The ultimate choice is in view here. If God is the God that I say he is, follow him. If he's able to do all the things that I said he could do, follow him. But if Baal is more masterful, more gracious, more wonderful than God, then follow him. Make a decision. Let's not stand here fighting over it. Let's make a decision. And then we'll live with that decision that we made. If we look at Jesus in John 6, we read that many people followed Jesus and called themselves his disciples, as it is implied in verses 60 to 61. But in verse 66, we read that many of them turned around and left Jesus. They found it hard to follow his commandments. Yeah. And then Jesus turned around to the 12 and he said, will you also leave?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He was asking them to make a decision.
Right,
he was saying, will you walk away like the other disciples have done? Or will you stay here with me because you know that I am him who bringeth life?
Yes, sir.
Make a decision. Life is all about decisions. Everything you do is a decision. Coming back here tonight was a decision. And many made the right decision.
Amen.
Sadly, some didn't make the right decision.
Right.
What you're going to wear today was a decision. Hard decision sometimes. Ain't that right, sisters? But yet, a decision was made. Because it was a necessary thing to get here. To be here. See, we can make decisions when it comes down to it. But a lot of times we let things hinder us from making the decisions that we need to make. We got to clear those things out of the way. And so we also have choices to make in our life. We have to make a way to decide for ourselves. We have to get all the stumbling blocks out of our way that we might be able to move on for God and do those things which are righteous in the sight of God. God talks about that straight gate, that narrow way. The way is straight and narrow. If you think about an archery contest, no one comes to the archery contest with a crooked bow or the crooked arrow. Because you will not win the competition with a crooked arrow or a crooked bow. You just be shooting people in the crowd. And so you can win the contest. You come with straight arrows and you come with straight bows because that will aid you in your attempt to win the competition. Same with life. You don't take the crooked gate, the crooked way, in order to gain righteous things. You come with the proper equipment for the job. Otherwise, you don't come at all. See, we have decisions that we need to make in our lives. And this way, this straight gate, narrow way, leads to eternal life. As pictured in John 3 and verse number 36, there will be few that find it, the Bible tells us. You know why that is? Exactly right, sister. It's hard. Taking that narrow way, that straight gate, is hard. If you were a heavy-set man squeezing through that small gate in the back, it was hard. You'd rather come early in the day when you can float in with the rest of the crowd. It was hard. People like the path of least resistance, as does nature. You follow a stream, it's going to take the path of least resistance. It doesn't want to be bothered. It's natural for you want to do that. The thing about us is we have to change our natural ways in order to adapt to being godly beings. Being godly isn't natural. But being natural is a godly thing. Being the natural born people of God is a godly thing, but often we corrupt ourselves and allow the things of this world to push us this way and that way, to and fro, back and forth. See, these walls that I was talking about earlier that surrounded the space, it was there for protection. Much like the church is here for your protection. You have a straight gate and narrow way to come through, but then you also have a protection. You have something that can help you withstand the wiles of the devil in any way that he might throw darts at you. Because God has set us up with a way in order to protect ourselves. Now, we also see that there is a broad way. The characteristics of a broad way, this way is defined as the path of least resistance. This way is straight and wide. It's a straight shot, and it's easy to get to. This way leads to destruction, as pictured in John 3, 18 and Mark 16 and verse number 16. There will be many who will be lost that travel this way. Many will be lost that travel this way. Proverbs 13 and 15 tells us the way of a transgressor is hard. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9 tells us the Lord will take vengeance and punish those who don't listen to his commandments. Those who have chosen not to follow his laws and his statutes. God will take vengeance. We have to be accountable. See, this broad way is the easy way. It's the way to slide in with the rest of the crowd. That's not the way you get into Christ. That's not the way you get into salvation, sliding in with the rest of the crowd. Sliding in with Christians doesn't make you any more a Christian than sliding in a chicken coop makes you a chicken. One day they're going to find out you can't lay eggs. And you're going to be sought out and taken to the wolves. You can't pass where you don't belong. God has a way of weeding those out who want to try to pass but just can't cut it. We have to be on that straight and narrow road. We have to be in that straight and that narrow way. We have a commitment to fulfill. We have to be accountable. See, we ought to be accountable first to ourselves. If we look at Matthew 7, verses 3 to 5, we see that the Bible says, "And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold the beam that is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye." We have to examine ourselves. When we're looking at traveling this straight way and we're looking at a new directive in our life, we have to examine ourselves. How are we living? What are we doing to further ourselves spiritually? Let's examine ourselves first. Secondly, we need to examine the work of salvation. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, the Bible tells us, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We have to remember why we were saved. We have to recall within ourselves why we gave our lives to God. Why we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why we take the time out of our schedules to come here 3, 4, 5 days a week sometimes. Why do we do all this? Is it just for show? Or is it to show your love towards a God who saved your life? He saved your soul eternally. We have to remember these things. We have to remember that salvation. We have to remember that. Examine yourself. And thirdly, we have to remember that we are surrounded by sinners. And those sinners, we need to show the things of God, but show them with patience. The Bible tells us in Matthew 7 and verse number 6, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. The Bible tells us we have to be careful of how we give things to people. We have to be careful of our example. Everybody can't take everything all at one time. Everybody can't take the gospel all at one time. Some people have to be spoon-fed. They can't go to the buffet yet. They're not ready for that. Their spirit isn't ready for that. You have to be able to coach people along with patience in order for them to learn more about God and his way. We have to remember that. Remember to examine yourself, examine your salvation, and then remember the sinners that live around you. We're surrounded by them. We're not too far removed from it ourselves. Amen. We are still sinners saved by grace. Yeah. You must remember that. Don't become too high-minded where you can't remember where you've come from. Just like people who have gained millions of dollars in riches and they forget about the hood where they came from. Yes, you came from the hood. Remember that. Remember to send some money back to the school that you graduated from. Don't forget about the people where you come from. Don't forget you are a Christian. Don't forget you are in a deprived situation at some point in your life. And somebody else needs to be where you are. And being high-minded, being heavily headed, won't get you there. So we must be committed. We must also be, the Bible tells us, cautious. Matthew 7 and verse 15 and 20 tells us, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. The Bible tells us, you shall know them by their fruits. These false prophets that come about us. And the Bible says that they bringeth forth evil fruits. You see, there will be people who come into your life. People who want to have an effect in your life that don't seek to do you any good. People who would discourage you from making the decision to serve God, to be underneath Christ's command. You'll run into those kind of people. Stay away from them. Those people are dangerous. Those people keep you from being the full potential Christian that you could be. Those people hinder your growth. If your growth feels stunted, if you feel like you're not moving, look around you. See who you're surrounding yourselves with. See what you're surrounding yourself with, and you'll see why you're not growing. It's hard to grow when there's reeds surrounding you. If you arose among weeds, you're going to get choked up because the gardener hasn't had a chance to work in your life. Now, God is a master gardener. He has the greenest thumb that you've ever seen in your life. He knows where to cut and prune so you can grow and be the best that you can be. Now, the army didn't coin that phrase. That's God's phrase. God will allow you to be the best that you can be. You see, you will often keep yourself from making a decision for Christ. See, many people don't look at it that way, but some people hinder themselves from making a decision for Christ. There are other people around you who will keep you from doing it, but then there are some people who hinder themselves. And you know within yourself whether or not you're hindering yourself from making a decision. See, we are people who know what we do and why we do it, even if we don't admit it. But that's a decision that you're going to have to live with. Just like that soldier I was talking about in my introduction, who zigged instead of zagging. You got to live with the decisions of what you've done. You got to live with the people who've died without knowing Christ because you chose not to obey. You have to live with the decision of the people who chose to go the other way, chose to rob the liquor store because you didn't give him the encouragement that he needed. You didn't give him the help that he needed to understand that you can be a better person. You can do better things with your life. You have to live with that decision. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready to live with the decision that you put before yourself. Don't blame God either. God gives you the opportunity to do right. It's up to you to do right. See, we are all part of a body of soldiers under heavenly command. We must adhere to our commander's influence and try not to figure this thing out for ourselves. See, we put ourselves in situations where we can't figure things out. It seems to me that often in our lives, we don't trust God enough to bring us through our situations. Times are hard and decisions are hard, but we don't allow God to guide our lives. Life is not better lived separate and apart from God. Believe me. God knows us well enough to treat us the way that he need to be treated. God is good. And he's a good commander. He leads us in a direction that will help us to fulfill our life's goal. See, many think that because I don't have a complete knowledge of everything about God, that I can't be saved. I'm not ready to be saved. The odd thing is that if you look throughout the Bible, you'll see many folk that didn't have the greatest knowledge of the scriptures, didn't necessarily know or believe every story depicted in the Bible. But yet their decision to give their lives to Christ was based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for their sins. If we examine the story of the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible tells us that he didn't know what he was reading. If he didn't know what he was believing, what he was reading, then how could he believe what he was reading? Just because you don't know everything about God, everything about the Bible, does not mean that you can't be saved. You can dispel that misconception right now. You can drop that off and leave it at the bank. You don't need that. See, if we think about it, even in our everyday lives, we do things not knowing the full extent of the situation. Take, for instance, it's summertime. A lot of people like to get into their pools. You don't need to know the exact pH of the water and the acidic level of the water before you jump in. The only desire needed for you to get into a pool is a desire to be refreshed. That is the only desire. Take your spiritual life. The only desire needed is refreshment also. The refreshment that God is able to provide. More refreshing than any swimming pool can ever give you. If you want to get in water, we got water.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that we ought to be the people of God because God is so great to us. He gave his son because he loved us so much. So why sit you here hindering yourself from becoming a child of God? That's a decision you have to live with. Every day of your life, and technically speaking, every day of your death, you have to live with that decision. If you look at the man who chose not to tell his family about God before he died, he wanted to go back and tell them. Lazarus said, let me go back and tell my kinfolk about this great God, so they don't come to this place where I am. Lazarus knew that there was a problem. Well, rich man and Lazarus, same story. Lazarus knew that there was a problem with where he was. He was in hell. I'm sorry, bro, you're right. I'm thinking about what you're saying now. The rich man. But y'all know what I was talking about, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Right. The rich man was in hell. Mm-hmm. Lazarus was in heaven.
Yeah.
Or the Abraham's bosom, let's say it properly. But the rich man knew that there was a problem with where he was. Mm-hmm. And so he had to make a decision. He decided to want to go back, but it was too late.
Yes, sir.
Because the decision had been made for him when he died. You don't want to die knowing that you could have been an effect to other people in their lives and helping them get to Christ. So the Bible tells us that we need to hear God's word. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. confess Christ, repent of our past sins, and be baptized in the watery grave for the remission of our sins. Such simple tasks, such simple steps, but the decision is yours. Will you allow your directive to be changed? Will you allow your directive to be taught by heavenly means, or will you continue to be where you are, doing what you do, just because? I think that's kind of selfish. I think it's selfish to sit in your seat and do the things that you want to do when God gave up a son like Jesus Christ that we might have life eternally. Think about your decisions, your daily decisions, your spiritual decisions. Think about them, because they have an effect on your life, but also on everyone around you. Now, I want us all together to stand as the brother comes to sing the song. And think about this.